بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Verse number 124 وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا قَالَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ And when his Lord tested Abraham with certain words and he fulfilled them, he said, I'm making you the Imam of mankind. He said, and for among my descendants, he said, my pledge does not extend to the unjust. As I said last week, this is an introduction to the verses about the change of Qibla. The importance of the house of Allah in Mecca, of course, was renewed by rebuilding it by Ibrahim alayhi salam. Actually, Ibrahim gave a new spirit and soul to Kaaba. And it's very interesting that when Allah starts to talk about the importance of Mecca and Kaaba, starts with the position of Ibrahim, saying it was Ibrahim who built this house. And this makes it a continuation of the discussions with the Jews about especially the change in Qibla, which was criticized by Jews very much. So, about the position of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then the position of the house. The first verse is about the position of Ibrahim, and then the second verse is about the position of Kaaba, and as an introduction to the change of Qibla. When Allah tested Abraham with certain words and he fulfilled them. Now, the words that Allah tested Abraham with, there are many things in our narrations which may be from Ta'wil, we don't know, but it doesn't go very well with the context of the verse. So we just leave them, because anything which doesn't go with the context of the Quran, we just leave the knowledge of it to whoever has said it, whether right or wrong. However, why Allah says that we tested him with kalimat and not with certain things? Probably the reason is that these tests were beyond human capacity or human endurance. It was not a real life test. It was not something that ordinarily people would go through. For example, we are tried and tested in our lives with many different things. Our children may die. We are afflicted by poverty, by illness, and all sorts of things. These are the tests in the real life, and everyone goes through them. However, for Ibrahim, it was different. It was not tests of real life. It was commands of Allah which were not something that would happen in ordinary life. Like, for example, the one example is given in the Quran. The others are not mentioned in the Quran or in any hadith. The example is that Allah commanded him to slaughter his son. This is not something that happens in real life. And this was not something that Allah intended Ibrahim to do. It was just a word he said. He said a word, he wanted to test Ibrahim about it, and Ibrahim fulfilled the test, as it is mentioned in Surah Safat. Allah said, after he fulfilled the test, said, إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينُ This was a real test. This was a manifest test, and you passed this test. So the other kalimat, which we may infer from that, is that Ibrahim was commanded to certain things which ordinarily people, even the prophets in this world, cannot endure. And Ibrahim endured them, and in that way Allah said, قَالَ إِنِّي جَعَلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا Now, about the Imamah, of course, we have lots of discussions here. to about the meaning of imama, but this imama was given to Ibrahim after he was tested so severely, and he became capable of being a role model for all humanity, for all human beings who want to go close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah mentions the story of slaughtering of Ismail in Surah Safat, and he says that, قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. I see in my dream that I'm slaughtering you. And what do you think? What should I do? Actually, because Ismail should have submitted as well. And Ismail submits too, and he says, do whatever you are commanded. Of course, the test for Ismail was not as big as the test for Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ismail submitted to death, said, okay, you killed me, I'm ready. This is very easy, all of us can do this. But for Ibrahim, by his own hand, cutting the throat of his son, this was a much bigger test. But both of them, of course, submitted. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. When both of them submitted and Ibrahim took hold of his forelock, فَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. Now the dream that you saw is now fulfilled. It was not real intention of me. I didn't really want you to do that. It was just a kalima. I wanted to test you with it. إن هذا لهو البلاء المبين وفديناه بذبح عظيم. And then Allah gave him بشارة إسحاق وبشرناه بإسحاق نبيا من الصالحين. So apparently Ishaq was much younger than Ismail, because after Ismail grew up and Ibrahim wanted to slaughter him, Allah gave him the بشارة of إسحاق. So this imama came at a very late stage of Ibrahim's life, when he was very old, when he had Ismail and Ishaq, and or at least he had Ismail, and he himself mentions that Alhamdulillah alladhi wahabani ala al-kibari Ismaila wa Ishaq. I thank Allah that he gave me in my old age both Ismail and Ishaq in my old age, after actually he was almost disappointed from having a child. This is something which in Surah Hijr we see when the angels give him the good tidings of a child, he says that this is not possible. How are you giving me? It appeared, of course, he was never disappointed from mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it appeared as the angels say. And the angels say that what we see in your attitude is that you are disappointed. You don't have any hope for having any child. And this means he was so old, and also his wife. Now look in these verses in Surah Hijr, وَنَبِّئْهُمْ عَنْ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ, and inform people about those guests of Ibrahim. إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَقَالُوا سَلَامًا قَالَ سَلَامٌ إِنَّا مِنْكُمْ وَجَلُونَ. He said, we are afraid of you, who are you? The way they behaved concerned Ibrahim. What are they going to do? قَالُوا لَا تَوْجَلْ إِنَّا نُبَشِّرُكَ بِغُلَامٍ عَلِيمٍ. He said, we are going to give you a good tiding of a knowledgeable son. قَالَ أَبَشَّرْتُمُونِي عَلَى أَمَّسَّنِيَ الْكِبَرِ فَبِمَا تُبَشِّرُونَ. This is not possible. You are now giving me the news of Allah giving me a son, while old age has touched me. Is this real? Are you really giving me this this news, or it is something, or is in my imagination, whatever? قَالُوا بَشَّرْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ فَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْقَانِطِينَ. And his wife as well, when she heard the news, قَالَتْ يَا وَيْلَتَا أَأَلِدُ وَأَنَا عَجُوزٌ وَهَذَا بَعْلِ شَيْخَا. How is it possible? I'm an old woman, and this my husband, even older than me, an old sheikh. إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عَجِيبٌ. This is very strange. If this happens, قالوا أتعجبين من أمر الله. They said, is it strange from Allah being able to do such a thing? All these show that Ibrahim عليه السلام was given his children at a very old age. And why I say Imama was given to him at a very old age as well? Because after Allah tells him that I'm appointing you as an Imam, then he said, قَالَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي, and my children. He didn't have before that age, which was an age of absolute disappointment for having children. Before that age, he didn't have any hope for having children. And it's not possible that Allah tells him, إِنِّي جَعَلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا, and he knows that he have no children, and say, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي, and from my children. It doesn't make sense. Not that because of the knowledge of Nubuwwah he knew that he is going to be given children. He didn't know that. He absolutely didn't know that. And when the angels informed him, he didn't believe them that it's going to happen. So he didn't know that he's going to be given children. And his wife didn't expect that such a thing would happen at all. And therefore, when he says, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي, he's not mocking himself or mocking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that, okay, if give imama to my children as well, while he doesn't have children, while he doesn't hope to have any children. So if he was given Ibrahim, Ishaq, and Ismail at very old age, and if he only knew of that, even by the ilm of Nubuwwah, he didn't know, he only knew of that after the angels came and told him, and he did not believe them initially until they actually confirmed that with revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't know that he's going to have Zurriya, and therefore Imama came to him at a very old age. Imama came to him after he was prophet. Didn't he? He was Nabi, he was Rasul. After he was messenger, he wasn't Imam yet. After that, he made him to be an Imam. And this shows this position was so high that came after all these things. Why for him, we'll mention, why for Ibrahim this came at a very late age, and how this Imama works, whether there was any Imam before him or this was the first time a human being was appointed as an Imam. And then he asked this to be carried on in his Zurriya. Now, Ibrahim, let me mention one hadith first and then we continue. The hadith is very important and it makes very good sense, goes very well with the context of this verse. And that is a hadith which is mentioned in Al-Kafi from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, who said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ اتخذ إبراهيم عبدا قبل أن يتخذه نبيا. Allah سبحانه وتعالى took Ibrahim as an abd. I don't translate abd in English because there's no good word for it. He actually took Ibrahim as an abd before he taking him as a prophet. Now, what does it mean he took him as an abd? All of us are ibadullah. Everyone, إِذْ كُلُّ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِ الرَّحْمَنَ عَبْدًا. Everything in heavens and earth is an abd of Allah. No, this is the abd which Allah mentions, إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانٌ. Those who willingly want to worship Allah. Those who willingly make themselves the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a position which is given to someone. Not everyone can attain this position of ubudiyyah. And this is what actually Allah mentions about Ibrahim in Surah Anbiya. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَابْلِ وَكُنَّا بِهِ عَالِمِينَ. Before everything, before we give everything, anything to Ibrahim, we gave him his rushd, his growth. This was ubudiyyah. He became an abd. And then after becoming an abd, after completely going in the direction of Ubudiyya, Allah took him as a prophet. And this is what usually is supposed, the way of appointment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Usually Allah appoints anbiya from siddiqeen or shuhada and salihin, the truthful, the witnesses, and the righteous. Of course, righteous with that very high sort of standard of righteousness. Appoints anbiya from these groups. And someone who is an abd, which becomes a siddiq or a shaheed or a salih, would have hikmah, wisdom, ilm, knowledge, everything which is just below prophethood. And this is what Allah mentions about Yusuf, about Musa, alayhi salam, that walamma balagha ashuddahu wastawa atainahu hukman wa ilma wa kadhalika najzil muhsinin. This is before prophethood. Both when Musa and Yusuf, they came to the age of maturity because they were so good, Allah gave them knowledge. This is that ubudiyya, that the position of ubudiyya, that someone becomes a real abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says that, so Allah took Ibrahim as an abd, اتخذ إبراهيم عبدا قبل أن يتخذه نبيا, before he takes him as a nabi. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ اتَّخَذَهُ نَبِيًّا قبل أن يتخذه رسولا. For a while he was only Nabi. Nabi is someone who receives news from Allah, receives Naba. He doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't need to do anything. He doesn't have any mission. Just has this position of receiving Nubuwwah. Like many of Anbiya of Banu Israel, they had this communication with Allah. Angels came to them, guided them. Some of them had to do certain things. Of course, as ordinary human beings, they were doing Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar in their community. They were Anbiya. They were doing Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar. And this is why they were killed. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَيَقْتُلُونَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Both, they killed them because they actually command them to do good. Then, of course, these anbiya are appointed, if Allah wills, if there is necessity for it, appointed to be rusul. Rasul is someone who has a risala, who has a mission. So all these are very different terms. Abd is a position, Nabi is another position, Rasul is another position. So then Allah took Ibrahim, اتخذه نبيا قبل أن يتخذه رسولا, واتخذه رسولا قبل أن يتخذه خليلا. Now, خليل is close friend, from خل. Someone who's absolutely see himself dependent on someone else. And of course, this is not on side of Allah. He doesn't depend on anyone. Ibrahim became absolutely dependent. Of course, everyone is dependent, but what it meant for Ibrahim, we don't know. What knowledge Allah gave him, because every stage has its particular knowledge, is a special knowledge that Allah gives them. And this doesn't happen for many of Rusul. Many of those who are given a mission by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala don't have this position of khulla, khalila. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ اتَّخَذَهُ خَلِيلًا قَبْلَ أَن يَتَّخِذَهُ إِمَامًا. And he was khalil for a while before Allah appointed him as an imam. فَلَمَّا جُمِعَ لَهُ الْأَشْيَاءُ قَالَ إِنِّي جَائِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. After all these came together, he said, I am going to make you an imam for people. Then he said, Imam alayhi salam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, فَمِنْ أَذَمِهَا فِي أَيْنِ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. This position came so big in the eyes of Ibrahim. Ibrahim saw that Allah has given him a blessing that could not be imagined before. It is not Nubuwwah, it's not Risala, it's not Ubudiyya, it's not Khulla. since it became so big in the eyes of Ibrahim, قَالَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي, he said, and from my progeny. He didn't ask Risala for his progeny, he didn't ask Khulla for his progeny, he didn't ask Nubuwa or any of these. It was because he saw this as a huge, as a very important position that Allah blessed him with. He said, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي, قَالَ نَا يَنَالُ أَهْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ, the zalimeen, whatever it means, we'll discuss that later, would not attain my covenant. This was a covenant that Allah made with Ibrahim. And the Imam alayhi salam said, it means لا يكون السفيه إمام التقي. A fool cannot guide someone who is a muttaqi. So this is not something to be given to foolish people. And anyone who commits a sin is a fool, isn't it? Someone who commits a sin, someone who disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a fool. So this cannot be. A foolish person cannot actually be the imam of muttaqin. And this has been reported in with many other chains of transmissions as well. The hadith is very beautiful. It talks about the degrees of human growth and closeness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now, what we understand from all these is that Ibrahim received this imama at a very late age. What is the meaning of imama? The exegetes have actually somehow blundered here in many ways, confusing different terms in the Quran, confusing different technical terms, because for them, imama just may mean an ordinary leadership or anything like that. The different things which are said about imama. Some exegetes have said it's nubuwa. And nubuwa, because a nabi should be obeyed by people, is an imam as well. Is muta'iyah, the someone who is followed by others, someone who's obeyed by others, and nabi is like that. Well, if Allah wanted to say this, Ibrahim was a Nabi long before this. Why do we say that this is Nubuwa? Ibrahim even was a Rasul before that. This was at a very old age. And then after all, Ibrahim completing all these kalimat, Allah says, now I make you a Nabi. It's ridiculous. And anyone who's saying this, it means that they are just emptying the technical terms of the Quran from their meanings. Just because it doesn't sound sense, it doesn't make sense for them, for example. And some other have said that this is khilafa or wasaya or leadership in the affairs of religion and in affairs of dunya, like for example political leadership and religious leadership. Again, every prophet has this, especially every rasul has this leadership and this khilafa in a sense. And therefore, all these terms which are mentioned are not imama. What is imama? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that inni ja'iluka linnas, for people. It means it's not something restricted to a, limited to a time or to a place. Allah makes Ibrahim a role model to be followed by everyone. And of course, it contains obedience, it contains following and everything. But the important thing is that now after Ibrahim shows that absolute submission to Allah, he's not tested only by what human beings are tested in their capacity in this world, but he was tried with things beyond that, that ordinary human beings are not usually tested, and that's why Allah calls it kalamat, are not usually tested by it. So Allah says, now you are a role model. If I want my servants, if I want human beings to be like someone, it's you. I want them to be like you. And this is what Ibrahim saw so huge, that I am living in a way that Allah has made me a role model for all humanity, that this is the human being that I want everyone to be or to become. So this, and this leadership is something that cannot be taken away from someone. No one can take imamah away from someone. If it's political position, even if it's religious position, people can take it away. But imamah cannot be taken away from anyone. When Allah makes someone a role model, he's a role model for everyone at every time, in every place. And Ibrahim was such. Was Ibrahim aware of this position? Apparently he was not, that there is such a position. And therefore, we may consider whether there was any imam before. Of course, there were awsiyah, there was hujjaj on the earth before Ibrahim alayhi salam. But did anyone attain such a thing? There is a possibility, and Ibrahim actually wanted this to continue in his progeny because it was such an important position and something which he had not experienced, because these positions are not conventional appointments that now I appoint you as an imam. Every position has its particular knowledge attached to it. So when a Nabi becomes a Rasul, the knowledge expands and they realize. When a Rasul becomes a Khalil, the knowledge expands. When a Khalil becomes an Imam, the knowledge expands. And this is what we have heard from our Imam alayhi wasalam, that for example, when do you understand that you have become an Imam? This was specifically asked from Imam al-Hadi and Imam al-Jawad, because they were away from their fathers when their fathers passed away. And they said that a knowledge came to us that we had not experienced before. And in that way, we realized that we had become an imam. So this knowledge came to him. And this, he estimated this to be so huge that he asked for his progeny. Now, asking for him his progeny, قَالَ وَمَنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. I want this from my zuriya as well. قَالَ لَا يَنَالُهُ أَحْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Who are ظالمين? Anyone who has shirk, anyone who has ma'asiyah, is zalim, of course. Luqman said to his son, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah, inna shirka la zulmun azim. Do not commit shirk because it is great zulm. So anyone who worshipped an idol, and this is very, very important. We know that many companions of the Prophet worshipped idols before they became Muslims. Anyone who worshipped an idol in his time, in his lifetime, is categorized as a zalim, at least for a while in his life. And Ibrahim knows that, of course, this position, having been an abd, having been a nabi, having been a rasul, having been a khalil, Ibrahim knows that this position is not something which can be given to wrongdoers. So one of the ulama says that Ibrahim, when he asked, we have to see what did he ask for his progeny? Because zalim, we can categorize zalim as such. Zalim is someone who has committed zulm, that is sin or shirk, not, of course, oppression, that's a different, that's a grave sin. But zulm and sin and shirk all his lifetime. This is one meaning of zalim. The other is that someone who has committed zulm at the beginning of their life and then repented at the end, they became good people. The other group are those who were good at the beginning of their life, then became zalim at the end of their lives. And there's a fourth category, and that's people who never committed zulm at all. Now, can we imagine that Ibrahim, knowing that some of his progeny are going to be zalim all their lives, and he says, give this position to my children as well? He wouldn't ask that, of course. He was not a fool to ask God. After this khullah, giving him this position, he said, okay, give it to my children who are mushrik or sinful. He wouldn't ask. Or asking for his children who were good at the beginning of their lives, then they become zalim. He wouldn't ask that. The only possibility is that he may ask for his children that had committed some zulm, but they had repented, they had become pure, and Allah removed this possibility and said that it is not possible. It is not possible for someone who had committed zulm even once in their life to receive this position. This is a very high position. You know yourself what position is this. You have experienced all those stages of growth and closeness to me. You know yourself, it is not possible that this position be given to zalimin. So the only thing that Ibrahim may have had in mind that, okay, some of my progeny may have done wrong things, but they may have become purified, they may have returned to you, give this to them. Imaginably, this may have been his thought, and Allah said, no, zalimin cannot receive it. For others, I will give it to you. I grant it. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِعَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُ. Ibrahim said to his father and his people, I disown what you associate with Allah, إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينَ. Except the one who created me, he will guide me. Then Allah says, فَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي عَقِبِهِ. Allah made this tawheed, pure tawheed, a word in his descendants, in his progeny, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Maybe people also return to this tawheed. So this was given to him, this was granted. Allah actually wanted to grant this to him. When he asked, Allah said, okay, even it's good that you asked, I wanted to give this to you. However, not to every member of your progeny, only to those who do not commit shirk. So the verse actually mentions that Ibrahim was an imam for all. Ibrahim was an imam for Jews, was an imam for Christians, was an imam for Muslims, was an imam for Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Because Allah says, ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. We reveal to you, follow the millah of Ibrahim. It means Ibrahim is an imam for all. Allah made him an imam for all. And then his progeny as well were made imams for all. And they were following the same thing, millat Ibrahim. Now, if this is the case, it is Ibrahim who built this house. وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ لِلْمَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنَا وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُسَلَّى. After Allah explains the position of Ibrahim, then say, go close to that stone on which Ibrahim set his foot, pray. And this is what, inshallah, we'll discuss in our next session. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. So you are saying, is this the same meaning of the term Hanif, those who have never done shirk before?
Yes, yes. Hanif, of course, those who never have done shirk, but, and their worship of Allah is completely focused. Because Janafa means to divert or diverge. Hanafa means to converge. So Hanif is someone who's absolutely focused to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is, yes, certainly what Ibrahim had.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Alaykum as-salam.
The word Khalilullah appears for Ibrahim. Does Habibullah also appear for Ibrahim?
Well, you know, all Anbiya were Habibullah, but sometimes, like for example, all our A'imma were Hadi, all our A'imma were Kazim, or were Sadiq, but they were given this because of the sort of prominence of this quality in them. And Habib is something which is given to our Prophet rather than to any other Prophet. But in narrations we have, for example, sometimes Allah calls these Prophets Habibi or Habibullah. It's possible, yeah.
Sorry. Hold on.
Alaykum salam.
I don't know whether I understood the meaning of imam correctly. So when we call our Baal imam, is it the same terminology as what is being given to Ibrahim alayhi salam? Because how can you distinguish? Because they have been through that sort of a test, as I would say.
The ma'asum imam.
Yeah.
The immaculate imam. Yes, that's the same.
That's position. The same position.
The immaculate imam. Yeah. Infallible imam.
Sheikh, this might be a cause for more discussion, the imam being to that lofty position, because when you try to look at the bigger picture, there will not be a Nabi after me.
Yeah?
And it's quite clear and concise, and it's undebatable. There will not be a Nabi after me.
Yeah.
And yet you've just said that Nabi and then another two positions, and then it gets to a position of imama. So now you've already put the position of imamate ahead,
yes,
above that of Nabi.
Yeah.
So how can that be reconciled?
Well, we can say إن الله اتخذ عليا إماما بعد أن اتخذه عبدا. See, it goes direct from ubudiyya to imama. It's possible because, you know, Siddiqeen have many different levels amongst themselves, okay? And sometimes Allah appoints a Siddiq as a Nabi or Rasul, sometimes do not appoint. And we don't know how it happens, okay? Sometimes directly a Siddiq is appointed as a Rasul without being a Nabi before. And here, because Nubuwwah has ended for certain reasons, then the Imam is appointed after he has become an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you define ubudiyya, please?
Ubudiyya. Ubudiyya. Shaitan, when he pledged that he will actually mislead everyone, he knew, he had foreknowledge, of course, like angels had foreknowledge, that there are some of these who are very pure, some human beings. And so when he pledged, he said, قَالَ فَبِعَزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ, except the purified ones. I cannot, because shaitan cannot touch them, they cannot go close to them. So ubudiyya, the perfect ubudiyya, which actually Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I have created jinn and ins for this ubudiyya, is when someone completely submits to God and leaves all his affairs to him. Because an abd is always dependent on Mawla. Allama Tabatabai, when he discusses this issue, he says, this ubudiyya, after mentioning many evidence, bringing many verses, this ubudiyya is that wilaya that Allah mentions in the Quran. That Allahu waliyul mu'mineen, Allah is the wali of the believers. It's actually wilaya. Wilaya means what? Means that Allah takes charge of the affairs of a person after that person completely leaves his affairs to him. He becomes like an abd, dependent completely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is ubudiyya. And when this happens, doors of knowledge would open to the heart of this person. And although he's not a Nabi, but he is given great knowledge, as I mentioned about Yusuf and Musa alayhi salam, ataynahu hukman wa ilma. Kadhalika najzil muhsanin. This is that ihsan in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how Allah explains it.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam.
Sort of two, three issues. One is you mentioned that when Riaz asked about imama continuing, whereas Nubuwa has ceased. If you say, you mentioned that there are, from Siddiqeen, you can move to Risala without Nubuwa or Imama without either of these two. My understanding was that every Rasul is a Nabi, although every Nabi is not necessarily a Rasul.
Yes.
Is that not necessarily true?
It's necessarily true, but you can just be given Nubuwa and Risala together. You see, you do not stay in Nubuwa for a while, like what Allah did to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Just suddenly you can be chosen to be, from a Siddiq to be a Nabi and Rasul together. Like, for example, about Musa alayhi salam, Allah mentions that وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مُوسَى إِنَّهُ كَانَ مُخْلَصًا. So he was from مُخْلَصِين. وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا. Now, was this Nubuwa given to him prior to Risala, or they were both given to him together? Apparently, كَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا, because every Rasul is Nabi. But why Allah mentions Kana Rasul and Nabi, apparently both of them were given to him together?
Is it okay to ask another? Yeah. You mentioned that even the Prophet was asked to follow Millah of Ibrahim, and Ibrahim's position was so high, this imama that was given to Ibrahim was so high that even the Prophet was asked so that he was an imam for all mankind. What would distinguish our Prophet from Prophet Ibrahim, if in fact he's being asked to follow Millah of Ibrahim?
Yeah, Millah is actually way of life. Millah is way of life. The distinction is, of course, again, this imama have degrees in knowledge. In this, even the Aura'imah were asked, are there distinctions between you and you among you? And they said yes. For example, Imam Ali is above all of us. So Imam Ali, although all of them are imams, but Imam Ali has a higher position in imamah. And the position here means knowledge, higher capacity is given. And therefore, every imam who passes away is imam for the other imams who come, because they all have the same thing. The only thing is that some of these a'imma have higher knowledge, closer position to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than others. But in terms of millah, they are all the same. The way of life, the way of ubudiyyah, they are all the same.
Salaam alaikum, Sheikh. Thank you very much for that lecture. Sheikh, this conversation between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Ibrahim, do we know, is there any knowledge about whether this was over a period of time or was it a single conversation? Because it was if it was just a single conversation, it would appear that the imama came upon Ibrahim, the knowledge came to him, and he realized the vastness of it, and he immediately asked for it for his dhurriya. So it's very quick thinking, or it was the knowledge that actually led him to realize the enormity of what he'd been given. The other question or inquiry is around the actual conversation itself. It's very central. It establishes for us and for all of mankind the relationship between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Ibrahim, and also the elevation of a human being through various levels to get to this enormous level that Hazrat Ibrahim led to. So is this conversation reflected in the books of the Jews and the Christians as well? Is this enormity realized by them too?
Well, whether this has taken place in a period of time or immediately, we don't know. The only thing is that this happened at a very late stage of Ibrahim's life, because Ibrahim had Ismail and Ishaq, or at least had Ismail, because he had completed the test. So, even if it took place in a period of time, it was in that very late stage. But apparently it's a conversation that Allah, when he makes Ibrahim an imam, you mean that Ibrahim, after contemplating other position, after then he asked, it's possible, completely possible, because the Quran style is that he sometimes just jumps the time. It is quite possible that after a while he asked for his zurriya. So what was the second question? Actually, the Jews and Christians, what has happened in Bible, okay, the gospel is all about Jesus, of course. The gospel has completely cut away this tradition of Abrahamic prophethood, faith and everything, and said that Jesus, Son of God, came, and all those were abolished, and Jesus just came to save human beings. So in a sense, Christians have cut themselves off from Abrahamic faith. And with regards to the Bible, apparently those who have written parts of the Bible, of course, part of it is revelation of Allah, the Torah, but part of it is quite clear. It's written by some people about some prophets or some events which took place. They didn't have very good attitude towards these leaders, because they were political leaders as well as religious leaders. For example, the way they have treated Solomon and David is, I mean, the way they are depicted, they are despots, they did not listen to anyone, they were tyrants, killers, and such things. And although there are many good things about them, but these aspects are mentioned as well. About Abraham, the Bible, as I am told specifically in many interfaith sessions by our Christian colleagues, is that Abraham was not a prophet in the Bible at all, was not regarded as a prophet. He was just a patriarch, the head of the family, so to speak. And Allah blessed him, but not as a prophet, but as someone who was blessed with good children, so many children and such things. So I don't think that the Bible treats, especially these very technical positions, these are because each position is very, very much defined, specific. I don't think it's there.
I was just trying to Google to see if there's an estimate of the age of Nabi Ibrahim and his wife at the time of the birth. We are talking about what, 80s, 90s?
Something like that.
Yeah. So should this be regarded as one of the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yeah, because I'm just thinking of the context of my therapeutic role. So if a woman comes to me pregnant in later life, should I be giving her assurance and support? Look, Bibi Sara got pregnant at this age, so she managed, you should manage as well.
Yes.
And vice versa, if a man is suffering with infertility for a long time, and say, look, it can still happen.
Yeah.
It's a miracle, yeah? You think it's a miracle and I shouldn't use this?
I just heard in news a lady in her 60s was pregnant.
Bad these days, not the 60s.
60s old age, yes. Anyhow, you know, there are always exceptional human beings, exceptional bodies. You know, it's not always miracle. There are always exceptions. But because this woman was actually barren from the beginning of her life, and now Ibrahim of that age, it was almost impossible. Yeah, that's possible, yeah.
Any further questions?
It's the same as Prophet Zakaria's wife.
Yeah, that's right.
But
yeah.
Prophet Zakaria's wife was very similar to... I mean...
Yeah, she was barren as well, right from the beginning, yes. Yeah. And especially about Sarah, alayha salam, because we don't believe these stories about Sarah, that she was jealous and such things. This is a biblical story. She was much higher than these things. She was one of the Siddiqat, of course. But she had become menopause for a long time. Then when these angels came, the Quran says, وَامْرَأَتُهُ قَائِمَةٌ فَضَحِكَتْ. This ذَحْك, Allama Tabatabai says, one of the meaning of ذَحْك is menstruation. Yeah. So while she was standing and listening, suddenly she so blood. And this was very strange, that after becoming menopause for a long time, then suddenly she had this period, and this is a miraculous thing, of course, which happens. Yeah, I mean, you immediately think that this is a disease, isn't it? Yeah.
By the same token, our brother said here 62 is a very big age and it's possible.
20 years ago, he might have said 52 is possible and 62 is impossible. It's a miracle. So we can have things by the will of Allah. It could have happened then, it could happen in the future. You know, it's the will of Allah. But what we're facing here is absolutely...
Asan.
She was actually menstruating, but then she actually didn't believe it, because the rest of the statement doesn't actually show that. Dahikat, to me, seems that she actually... laughed in jest, as in she couldn't believe it.
Yeah, we just heard she may have thought this is cancer of uterus or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we'll end there. Thank you, Muhammad.